You're listening to Voices Around the Sound on News Talk 710 Cairo, now on 97.3. I'm Marion Chariton. Here with me tonight is Victor Cheng. Victor is a marketing consultant and author, and we are going to talk about the impact of books on politics. Hi, Victor.
Hi, Marion.
How much power do you think the written word has anyway? Especially in politics.
Well, I think the written word, particularly in a book format, carries an awful lot of credibility. And I think there is a presumption that it is accurate and factual. And barring any additional information, I think it's very influential.
Now, your new book is called Bookmercial Marketing. Do you touch on this topic in your publication?
Yeah, actually, my book, Bookmercial Marketing, is all about getting your ideas out in print in a very credible and authoritative way, and really being known for your ideas as an author. And I think in the current election cycle, Barack Obama is probably the first to do that extremely well with his book Audacity of Hope, which continues to be on the New York Times bestseller list. And I think more recently the Republicans have fought back, seeing how successful that was, and have authored, I think, two, even three books of their own criticizing Obama and his record. So I think you're seeing a new battleground sort of emerging in elections around books.
Right, and I have to say, whatever your political views, Audacity of Hope is a great title, isn't it?
It is. And, I mean, it could have been, the Audacity of Experience, right?
Yeah.
So it was, I think the topic was well chosen, and it happened to match what a big chunk of the American population was interested in. And that's actually one of the big secrets for marketing through books, is to pick one idea, just one, not two, not three, but one big idea you want to be known for, and putting all of your marketing muscle behind that. And that's what Obama has done, and it's also what's being sort of done to him more recently.
What kind of image do you think Obama wants to portray he has, according to his book?
Well, I think early on, even before the election started, he wanted to be known for, someone who really believed in having hope, hope for a better world, hope for a better life. And then I think as the election sort of got underway, he wanted to be known as a change agent. So the book was really sort of an expression of his ideals. And then his campaign promise was that he would change the way politics is in the United States to match his ideals. And so that's what I think he wants to be known for. And I think McCain, who also wrote a book a couple years back called Hard Call, wants to be known, or at least wanted to be known, as the person who could make difficult decisions in trying times. And that's been fairly consistent with his campaign so far as well.
Isn't a lot about politics image?
Certainly. I mean, there's perception, right? And perception oftentimes really is pretty darn close to reality. And I think you have to pick your positions very, very carefully. This is certainly in any kind of endeavor where you need to persuade people to, vote for you or buy products from your company or whatever it may be. And as an example, I think, Hillary Clinton sort of chose experience as what she wanted to be known for, and that sort of did not resonate with enough people, unfortunately.
Now, there's also another New York Times bestseller out, Fleece by Dick Morris, and he attacks Barack Obama.
Yeah, he's like the third in line. There are actually three books out, all on the New York Times bestseller list, all of them attacking Obama. There is The Obama Nation by Jerome Corsi, who was the guy who wrote the book with the that sort of brought down John Kerry when he ran. There's a book called The Case Against Barack Obama, and then there's Fleeced by Dick Morris that you mentioned. And in Fleeced, Dick Morris really certainly attacks Obama, also attacks McCain, attacks Congress, attacks lobbyists. He pretty much attacks everybody you can think of. So that's just an indictment of society in general, and Obama certainly was not excluded from that process either.
Now, with John McCain's book, Why Courage Matters, which came out in July of this year, of 08, did this impact his presidential campaign at all, in your view?
I think it had some impact. The formula for using books to influence the population, it's being known for something, and ideally the thing you want to be known for is the thing that people want to hear about, and I think that in terms of matching your message to what the audience wants to hear, I think Obama probably had a better connection with a larger percentage of the population, but I think McCain has done that as well, and it's had some positive influence, but probably not nearly as much in terms of magnitude as Obama did with his.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Do you think Joe Biden and Sarah Palin will come out with books as well?
Well, I think the model has been proven, and I would be very surprised, particularly, if not in this election, but probably in future elections, if books did not play a much larger role. And I think with Obama as an example, you know, his books came out before he really sort of announces his candidacy. And so he sort of got a jump start on campaigning without really having to officially declare. And in some ways, I suspect it was a way for him to test the waters. Mm-hmm. So I'd be very surprised if you didn't see more books in future elections.
Now, there are many e-book publishing.
Mm-hmm.
That's fast. Why don't we see more of this? Or are we going to see more of it?
Well, I think, you know, e-book publishing certainly exists more on the commercial side, less in politics. I just think there's something really credible about, you know, the old-fashioned, tangible, put-it-in-your-hands kind of book. In terms of sort of more digital platforms like the Amazon Kindle and the Sony Reader, most of the books that we've been talking about, I believe, are all available on those platforms as well. It's just that few people have those readers, so it doesn't influence as large of an audience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a friend of mine a number of years ago is a music producer, and he used to say any publicity is good publicity, anything. Now, do you think if a politician reads something about himself or herself that's negative, they should defend themselves, go on the attack, or just ignore it? What's your take on that?
I think a good rule of thumb is to sort of nip it in the bud early. And if you sort of wind the clock back and look at the election with Kerry and the whole Swift Boat incident, which was also authored by Jerome Corsi, who is the author of The Abomination, you know, Kerry tried to sort of sweep it under the rug, hoping it would blow over, and it didn't. And what you found this time around was the Obama campaign, right after Corsi came out with his New York Times bestselling book. I mean, it hit number one, I think, the first week it came out, got a lot of attention. You know, within 48 hours of the mainstream media talking about it, essentially lending it attention, they immediately came out with, I think, a 48-page rebuttal, you know, sort of page by page by page. And I think they sort of learned the lesson of what not to do from Kerry, which basically tried to ignore the problem.
Well, some have called the New York Times the Bible of all newspapers, and a lot of people do. And of course, you know, some say it's liberally slanted. But the information there is very widespread, solid information, and they do present all perspectives.
Well, I think it's very interesting that the week that the Abomination hit sort of number one on the New York Times bestseller list, the New York Times, I think, book review sort of critiqued the book and said it was bad. So you had the list, which is very well followed in book publishing circles, saying it's the number one book in the category, and then the review section saying it's not a very good book. So you certainly do see both sides. But I think the main message here for Obama's camp and anyone who's, you know, sort of interested in this is that the title gets noticed. And the title is sort of is associated with a negative position on Obama. And so I think they did the right thing in taking it very seriously and reacting to it and trying to minimize the damage it might do.
Do you recall when Hillary Clinton's book came out, It Takes a Village, and of course there was flack that she didn't actually write it herself? That kind of gave a positive spin on Mrs. Clinton.
Yeah, I think I remember that book coming out, and it was a very interesting message, and I recall a lot of people were talking about it, and it did definitely resonate with a sizable chunk of the American population.
Okay. Are there any other strategists coming out with books?
Oh, there are always people sort of in various stages of producing books, but nothing comes to mind at the top of my head, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see books become sort of a new battleground in the sort of political election process.
What is the main thing, in your professional judgment, candidates have to watch for with what is written about them?
Well, I think candidates always want to influence, if not write stuff about themselves. I think the most important thing is consistency. So what you say to the media and what they say about you, you're ideally looking for consistency there. And that, I think, is probably the most important thing, because when there's a message that's inconsistent, it becomes very confusing, and confused people tend not to vote, tend not to buy, and so I think that's probably one of the most important things to keep in mind.
Yeah, because recently in watching television newscasts, as well as reading information about the vice presidential candidates, I've seen conflicting information on each of them.
Mm-hmm. And it becomes very confusing very fast. And so you'll see that. I always find it's very funny. These books come out. The both campaigns get interviewed about what's in the books, whether it's true or not, or whether the rebuttal is accurate or not. And they're very good at, if you look at the quotes in these articles, in the newspapers and online, you know, they're very good at staying very consistent on their message of what they want to be known for, what they want to say this week, and they're very disciplined. So I think that is definitely the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Is there any gauge of these books that come out on candidates of how much of an impact they have on a voter's decision?
Well,
if someone's on the fence.
Yeah, I think it has a couple of different levels, and I'll use the Abomination as the example because that was sort of most recent, and it's also highest on the bestseller list. You know, the first, I would say, week or two, it came out, it hit the New York Times bestseller list extremely quickly. At the time, it was probably purchased by readers and fans of Jerome Corsi, who had written his previous book on John Kerry. And so in that case, he was really sort of speaking to his core, the core Republican base. So in that particular case, these folks were probably not going to vote for Obama anyway. And early on, they just sort of had even more reasons not to vote for him. Then it hit the New York Times bestseller list. It got the attention of all the mainstream media, and they jumped all over the story. The bloggers weighed in too. And all of a sudden, it was dominating the headlines for a period of a couple of days. At that point, I think the book starts to attract people who are maybe independent, who are undecided, somewhere sitting on the fence. And it started to get a lot of attention, and I would say in those few days, it was definitely doing a lot of damage to the Obama campaign. And that's why I think they really rushed out a rebuttal to try to sort of stop that momentum. And I think they were very successful in getting the mainstream media to sort of notice some of the flaws in the book, and that story sort of died out of the headlines. But in terms of word of mouth, the Abomination book is still at the very top of the New York Times bestseller list. I think it was number one last week, it's number two this week.
Yeah, I understand it's a good read. I haven't read it, but I do intend to do so.
Yeah, it's an interesting read. Even some of the Republicans will acknowledge there's some factual issues with it, and so Obama was trying to point out that some of the stuff wasn't quite accurate. Some of the other books have a much more much greater sort of fact base behind them. But in either case, all three books, The Abomination, The Case Against Barack Obama, and Fleeced, are all in the top 10 this week. So it's getting noticed, and people are buying it, they're talking about it, so I think it continues to have an influence.
Yeah, I always say don't believe anything you read unless it's fiction. That's my own thing.
It's probably not a bad rule.
but in many cases, the pen can indeed be mightier than the sword.
Absolutely.
And I personally think these books have a lot of impact on decision-making.
Well, particularly if something like a presidential election, you know, all you hear on TV are the little sound bites, right? The 4-second comment here, maybe 15 seconds there. And for such a complicated decision, it's hard to make a decision off of 30 seconds of information. So anytime you're trying to, quote unquote, sell something that's sort of a complicated decision, whether that's a candidacy or a product or service, sometimes you just need a little more room to sort of make your case. And I think a book is a very good vehicle for that. It certainly is the vehicle for Obama to explain to voters why they should vote for him. It's also the same vehicle used to criticize him. And I think that both sides of the fence are getting a lot of attention with those two efforts.
Well, we will see soon,
yeah.
Come November, which candidate gets fleeced.
Yes, really.
Quote Dick Morris. Thank you so much for being here.
You're quite welcome.
It was great speaking with you, Victor. That's Victor Cheng. He's a marketing consultant and author of the new book, Bookmercial Marketing. You're tuned to Voices Around the Sound on News Talk 710 Cairo, now on 97.3.